What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. My name is Lou Need and I am your host. And today I have the honor of introducing Deanne O'Donovan. Deanne offers education and consulting services in leadership development, business development, strategic planning, technology implementations, and related services to the Broadmoor Group. Most recently, Deanne served as the president and CEO of AHP Servicing, which specializes in buying non-performing loans. In her first year at AHP Servicing, Deanne dramatically increased company performance across a variety of metrics. Prior to that, Deanne was the EVP and Chief Administrative Officer at Wintrust Mortgage and has held leadership positions in the finance, mortgage, and real estate industry. Deanne is an expert in corporate strategy and development leadership. Deanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here with you this morning.
I'm so excited to have you on board because I want to pick your brain about leadership and working for corporate organizations and how to get more women into the C-suite and how to build an internal pipeline of talent.
I love it.
Yeah, let's go right into how do you design and build a company that can scale? You've overseen, you've been the CEO of all these major, broad, big companies. How do you begin to build a company that can scale?
Great question. And it's one that I get frequently. One of the things that's critical is taking a look at your infrastructure across a whole host of areas. And so one of those things you touched on in the intro, which is leadership. Mm-hmm. So not just putting in place a team that can manage the business where it is today, but ideally a team that can manage the business once you get to where you want to go. So you have to build that leadership team for the future, and that requires an investment in talent. The other things that I think are really critical are making sure that you have the internal processes, the risk management, and the technology infrastructure to also allow you to scale, and building that up front. Again, it's an investment that you make, but it's an investment that pays dividends over the years and really helps prevent you from hitting speed bumps. And it doesn't have to be expensive, especially on the technology side. There's so many great technologies available right now that are very affordable for small businesses, but really help get them organized and help get them working together as a team.
Mm-hmm. So leadership is key in scaling and growing a business. How about for startup companies? How do you transition from founder to professional management with very little capital?
That can definitely be a challenge. And I think a lot of that comes down to the founder. And does the founder have the ability to self-reflect and to understand what he or she is good at and what he or she is not so good at and needs to supplement for, either with other members of the management team, or in some cases by either stepping out and having somebody step in as CEO, or making that strategic decision that they're going to bring in VC or PE money, understanding that they'll give up a little bit of the ownership and control, but in exchange for that, they get access to a network of advisors. And so for most founders that I have seen struggle or fail, it's because they refuse to take those steps to give up a little bit of control in exchange for getting a level of talent and advisory expertise that would not otherwise be available to them.
It's essentially, it's creating a mastermind and leveraging of other people's talent and skills that you yourself don't possess.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it takes a true leader to actually be able to step aside and realize, okay, I'm not strong in these areas, but I can find somebody that who is, and actually put them in charge.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What is for you the biggest challenge you have experienced while in your current role?
So I think the biggest challenge is probably matching up the best talent that you can find with what you're able to pay. Because the reality is, you know, if you have a limitless checkbook, you can always find great talent. But today we're sitting at 3.7% unemployment. So we're at effectively full employment. And I think one of the things that's critical for companies in this type of an environment is being able to identify talent when they're recruiting that's maybe a step below where they need to hire. So maybe you're looking at an AVP or a director level from another company that you think is ready for promotion so that you can hire them at that VP level. They're still affordable for you, but for them, it's a step up and a nice challenge and a way for them to continue to grow your career. And you have to be a pretty strategic interviewer and leader in order to uncover that without taking too much risk.
How have you changed your strategy and management style? And what lessons learned? If you had to tweak your style to actually do some to match the talent to the role?
So one of the things that I've learned over the years is you cannot take a one size fits all approach to leadership or coaching and development. You really have to take the time to get to understand the individuals that you're leading and also to create a level of transparency and trust and vulnerability and make sure that everybody understands what their role is on the team, how that role is important, and how what they do fits into the overall strategic objectives of the company. And that's a big mistake that I see a lot of younger leaders make, is that they are very siloed, very segmented, and they're not explaining to their team members, here's why what you do is important, and here's how it fits into the overall strategy of the company. And once you have that, the changes that you'll see in engagement can be dramatic, because at the end of the day, none of us are going to the job or leaving for another job strictly because of money. We're doing it for the challenge and the engagement and the people that we work with and that desire to make a difference.
Yeah. Do you foresee in your line of work that the CEO or the owner, because they have to be able to assess talent and actually help their employees grow, that they themselves start investing in their development. They themselves get coaching and executive coaches to come in and actually help them with that process.
Yes, it's a great question. And I think it can be incredibly valuable. You know, I myself, over the course of the years, have taken a number of classes at the Kellogg School of Management when I've been asked to take over a function that I have a general knowledge of, but I don't feel that I'm an expert at. And so I think continuing to be a student, no matter what role you're in, including the president and CEO role, is incredibly valuable. And, you know, the other thing that you're touching on is executive coaching. I think that can be very valuable. I don't think it's as valuable where people are hiring a coach who's a psychologist, right? Because they haven't sat in that seat. If you're going to take the time and the energy and invest in finding a coach, look for a coach who's been a CEO, if you're a CEO or if that's what you aspire to be, because they're going to have a whole host of real life lessons and experiences and mistakes that they've made that they can then, you know, share and help you be better and stronger and smarter and wiser and hopefully more emotionally intelligent as well, because that's also a stumbling block that I see a lot of people run into. So having somebody who's been in that role as your coach versus having somebody who comes from a psychology background can be invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Because they have the experience and they have the exposure.
And they have the battle scars, right? Because you don't just learn from your successes, you learn from your mistakes as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. How did you get involved with your industry? It sounds like it's a passion for you. You enjoy doing this and you enjoy what you do. How did you get involved?
You're right. I do enjoy what I do. I love work. I cannot imagine not working. If I won the lottery tomorrow, I would still work. And so for me, I think the reason I'm passionate about it is, you know, the intersects of business that appeal to me. Ultimately, what I'm passionate about is building businesses. And so for every company and every business and every sector, that's different. But at the end of the day, there are only so many levers. So when a company is stumbling or it's stagnating or it can't get to its growth projections, there are usually one of a handful of things. And so that sort of holistic view of the organization and what's going well and what's not going well and how do we fix those things that aren't going well so that the company can really reach its full potential, to me, is so much fun.
How do you help build businesses?
So it gets to some of the things I was talking about earlier, really taking a holistic view at what are the key revenue drivers, what do expenses look like, what's the talent situation, what's the product and pricing situation, who are the competitors, and really doing that SWOT analysis, which is assessing strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and figuring out who are you? Right. So it kind of gets back to start with why. Why are you in business in the first place? Who are you hoping to help? Mm-hmm. And how do you get that message out there in the way that's most effective and in a way that's authentic?
Mm-hmm. Who is your avatar? Who is your ideal client? And how do you think the way they do to actually produce a product or service that will help them with a pain point?
Exactly.
And so that differentiates you from your competitors, right? Because you're taking a holistic view of it. You're looking at the psychology, you're looking at the mental mindset, you're looking at the competitive edges, the SWOT analysis. You're encompassing a whole lot in your design.
That's right. And that's really what helps you hone in on, as a company, who do you want to be and how do you want to show up in the workplace? Because a lot of the brands that you see today, especially brands that millennials interact with, you have to be offering more than a product, but it has to be authentic. It has to be something that is either solving a need or creating a social connection or some level of stickiness and remembrance so that people come back to it, so you don't have a one-time transaction.
Mm-hmm. Especially where you got to be able to dealing with millennials, engagement is key. And showing that you care about them, right? That hospitality comes into play a whole lot. It's not just about a product anymore. You really gotta get people coming back, returning back to for your service.
Exactly. And for part of that, you need to have that surprise and delight factor, right? So how are you not just creating that transaction, but how are you exceeding expectations and creating something that's memorable and shareable with your customer?
Over delivery of your product and service, going above and beyond.
Exactly.
And providing tremendous value. It's so key. How are you adding value to their lives on a daily basis? I love that you talked about earlier about leveraging on the skills of others. You know, you may not be an expertise in one area, but you can find someone who is and bringing them on board. So how do you leverage the opinion and skills of your executive team?
When I'm hiring an executive, what I'm ideally looking to do is find somebody who aligns well with the corporate culture, but also expands the corporate culture, both in skill set and knowledge and what they're bringing to the table, as well as perspective and how they show up and interact with the rest of the team, because I think that's really where the magic happens. So I'd give you an example. I'm not a CPA. So when I was going out and hiring a VP of accounting, I was looking for somebody who had a really strong demonstrated track record of success. That's absolutely critical, right? You want to make sure the books are accurate. Yeah. But I was also looking for somebody who was young and hungry and eager and wanted to take that next step and kind of had a fire in their belly and something to prove, because that's somebody that I knew was going to show up and really engage with the company, not just do the books and go home. Does that make sense?
Yes. So you're looking for organization fit, you're looking for culture fit, and you're looking for somebody with drive and who knows this, who has the skills.
Yes. And so for me, especially if I'm building a young team for a young company, and I don't mean that by age, I mean the age of the company, not the individuals. I'm looking for somebody who is high achieving and strategic, and you can certainly interview for those things, and who's going to show up and want to make that company the best company it can be, because they're putting their name on it and they view that as their baby too.
Mm-hmm. So person, organization fit.
Yes.
It has to be in alignment. Very, very interesting. So, study organizational psychology. What's your background?
My background is liberal arts. Mm-hmm. So I have undergrad and a master's in English and then undergrad in history. And then I'm an executive scholar from Kellogg. So I would say I have not formally studied organizational design, but a lot of the classes that I've taken at Kellogg had components of that. And I've also worked with Six Sigma a lot, and certainly there are organizational design elements there. And then it's also something that at an informal level is a passion of mine, because when you work for various companies and with various leaders, you see what works and what doesn't work. And I sometimes joke that, you know, life's too short to make all the mistakes for yourself. So sometimes learning from other people's mistakes and seeing how they show up and what doesn't work teaches you at least as much as seeing who's a great leader and what does work. So a little bit of both across the course of my career.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. You invested in yourself. You took the Sigma, you took the Kellogg courses to learn, and you're also a student of life. You really understand that no one stumbles upon success. Success leaves clues. It leaves a trail. And there are habits and people before you that have learned, and you learn from them. You don't need to make all the mistakes that everyone else made before you.
That's right.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. So share with us some of your habits, because we want to learn from you now. What are some of the habits that help you in your daily life? What's your morning routine like to help you get up, dress up, and show up and be the CEO?
I am a morning person, so I'm usually up around 6:30, and I have the benefit of being just a couple of blocks from Lake Michigan here in Chicago. So my morning routine starts with a walk by the lake, rain or shine. So I usually do about an hour walk by the lake, which really helps me organize my day. Some of my colleagues will joke that they can tell when I got a good night's sleep, because I'll, you know, have these emails like, I think we should do this, or let's consider this, or let's, you know, huddle and talk about this. So starts with the morning walk, a cup of coffee. I meditate on a daily basis and try to also address the urgent items first in the day. So most days by the time 9:30 or 10 rolls around, my most critical items are completed. And I try to do those things before I sit down in front of email, because otherwise I find for myself the day is lost. So I would say make email your second priority, not your first priority. The other thing that I have found very effective is I time block email. So I'll look at email at specific times of the day rather than having it in front of me all day long.
Because you can get lost in a rabbit hole once you get to the emails portion of your day.
Exactly.
It's one after the other, and you have to be, they need your response. They need your attention. So I love your morning routine. It's simple, because you're getting up, you're moving the body. You're getting the endorphins flowing, and it's allowing you to think and at the same time plan out your day.
That's right. I think of it as a moving meditation. So I find that whatever was on my mind the day before, when I'm taking that morning walk and I've got my, you know, phone with me in case I want to make notes, those answers seem to fall into place very easily. And it really is a great way to energize and start that day.
Yeah. And calm your mind down. A lot of, we need to spend time alone and actually focus on and prioritize what's important. And it sounds like you're doing that as well.
That's right.
How can we connect with you?
So they can find me by email at reobuyer19@gmail.com. So they should feel free to send me a note. They can also connect with me on LinkedIn. Just type in Deanne O'Donovan, and I'd love to connect and start a conversation.
Absolutely. And what kind of strategies and services you provide right off the bat?
So I can do SWOT analysis for companies, and that's often very useful for companies that are struggling and they're not quite sure why. Leadership and talent assessments help developing strategic plans, budgeting. I do a lot of mergers and acquisitions work as well, and that's something that I really enjoy. So kind of runs the gamut of management consulting, but on much more of a personal and boutique basis.
Mm-hmm. Management consulting. Well, morning enthusiasts, this is Deanne. She is able to provide the following services: management services, SWOT analysis, and leadership assessment for your team, your company. She can be reached at the email below. And so, Deanne, I thank you so much for coming in onto the show.
Thank you. I enjoyed talking with you this morning.
You have a good day.
You as well. Bye now.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.